A lot of us over the last few years have been having heated political debates with family members. But what happens when both sides can't agree on a set of facts? Journalist Albert Samaha understands this well. His mother is a staunch supporter of QAnon, and he struggled to convince her that the far-right conspiracy theory is a lie. He's written about this in his latest article for BuzzFeed News called "My Mom Believes in QAnon. I've Been Trying to Get Her Out." And Albert joins us now. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yes. So, you know, I wanted to talk with you about this because you're laying bare something that so many of us are experiencing. What made you take the step to write about your mom?
Writing is just kind of how I process problems and traumas I encounter. It's cathartic to put it on paper. It forced me to reckon with everything I had in the story that I hadn't really fully thought through. And I think writing it out and going through that process with my mom really helped me get a better understanding of what it is we had gone through and how it had impacted our relationship.
Let's talk a little bit about what these conspiracy theories mean for your mother, what she's connecting to. During your mom's first decade living in the United States, you write that she was actually very indifferent to politics, mostly because she wasn't a citizen, so she couldn't vote yet. You're also in the process of writing a book about your family's experiences with immigration from the Philippines. How do you think your mother's political evolution coincides with that experience? Do you think she's still reconciling the differences between maybe the American ideal and the reality?
I think she came to the country inherently skeptical of government because of the experience she had in the Philippines, that, you know, kind of her household being flipped upside down when President Ferdinand Marcos declared martial law and sort of ushering in that dictatorship and a lot of the corruption that followed even the revolution in that country left her a bit disillusioned with the role of government. So she had always sort of put God above all and seen government as merely just a tool, you know, a piece on his chessboard. I mean, I think her conspiratorial mindset sort of bloomed from those years in the Philippines where the dictatorship was bolstered by actual conspiracies. You know, I mean, there's a million conspiracies that have happened in the U.S. over the course of time that we're only finding out recently, right? Like, I'm sure at the time, the you know, Tuskegee experiments would have seemed like an absurd conspiracy if I had heard about it, or the CIA, you know, supplying crack cocaine in low-income neighborhoods would have seemed like a conspiracy. And so I think the existence of these conspiracies is what sort of validated, in my mom's mind, the conspiracies that I do find baseless, because it's like, well, what truly is possible? And so her evolution towards caring about politics sort of came through the lens of Donald Trump represented the person who's standing up to these conspiracies that she had long believed in.
You know, QAnon is based on the idea that government leaders and Hollywood stars are these secret Satan worshipers and are part of a massive child sex trafficking plot. There's another one that basically believes that key political figures like President Biden and Obama and others will be rounded up and executed. Is there any part of the QAnon conspiracy theory umbrella that you've been able to convince your mother may be wrong?
Yes. I mean, it's funny with my mom because, like, there are certain aspects of QAnon where she'll sort of surprise me by being like, yeah, I don't know if Tom Hanks was actually cloned. Like, the concession she'll make sometimes, it's like, okay, maybe that one's not true, but who knows, type of thing. And usually that's only been the case for, like, not even outlandish stuff, I would say, actually, some of the lower stakes stuff. So, like, she'll back down from, like, whether Oprah is a clone, but she won't back down from, like, whether Joe Biden's a clone. Because that's much more central to, like, her belief system, the ideology, and, like, her political beliefs, whereas, like, she doesn't really care about whether a celebrity is a clone. So the stuff she'll get persuaded on is the stuff that she doesn't really care about. But on, like, the issues she cares about, she has enough sort of confirmation from her, like, fake news sources to not have to back down about, like, Biden being a body double and the deep state trying to topple Trump.
I want to get into the larger meaning behind you processing this relationship. But first, I want to know, how is your mom reacting to this piece?
She's good. She's reacting very positively. You know, she likes the story. She found it funny. She hopes that people can find it useful for navigating their own situations.
Well, it's clear that your mother, from your article, is very proud of you, even if she doesn't always agree with what you cover as an investigative reporter. And you write that for a while, the only stories your mom actually found credible in what she called the mainstream media were the ones that you actually wrote. Can you describe how that shifted as she became more aligned with the QAnon ideology?
You know, in some ways, I don't even know if the shift had much to do with the QAnon stuff. I think because in some ways, her perspective on my work personally hasn't shifted. It's that she generally trusts what I have to say, you know, when I publish stories, except when those stories undermine the ideas she holds dear. So if anything, I think where the QAnon stuff did impact that was that there were just so many more theories that my reporting was now clashing with. QAnon was just sort of one slice of the disinformation that had formed this wedge between us. So when I hear from folks that tell me about how stunning it was for them to go through this QAnon divergence with their loved ones, I kind of realized that one benefit my mom and I had is that we've navigated these waters for a decade now.
You and your mom are doing this really delicate dance. You still have a wonderful relationship, it seems, but you're constantly navigating this big thing here. Do you feel like you're any closer to having her having a deeper understanding of where you are and where perhaps the rest of society or mainstream society is?
I don't know. I think that we've talked about the possibility of just avoiding the subject altogether. But the thing is, these are important issues, right? Like both of our worldviews and the things we argue about are of the utmost importance, right? They concern democracy, authoritarianism. Like what we argue about are these really important fundamental issues about the world. And we both feel that they're much too important to not talk about, to not try to persuade the other person. So we decided that it would be impossible for us to just not talk about it and avoid the subject. So I think where we have found progress is in our ability to talk about it and put up objections and tell each other when we believe the other is wrong without doing so in a way that is disrespectful or dismissive or smug or anything like that. And just sort of accepting that we see the world in two different ways and we will both continue to try to persuade each other. But that disagreement doesn't have to define our relationship. It doesn't have to entirely consume us.
Is that in a way your takeaway message from this article? Because so many people, as we said at the beginning of our conversation, are dealing with this with family members and loved ones. But I think the other side of this is that a lot of people feel that it's more than just a disagreement that we can agree to disagree, that there are bigger things at stake, like democracy, like the humanization of Black and brown people in this country. And so when there are all of these conspiracy theories that people who have power through voting and other means can take a stand on, how do you reconcile that at the end of the day?
Everyone has kind of their own relationship. Like, I don't think that the way my mom and I have handled it offers any sort of like guidance or antidote for other people's problems. For me, I could never imagine cutting off my mom or any loved one for having abhorrent beliefs. But like, what's the line, you know? Like, how far does someone have to slip into having beliefs that I find immoral before I have to take a further stand? I don't know. I mean, I sort of just take it one day at a time. And I don't know if that would work for everybody. I don't know if everyone even wants that. I totally understand how frustrating it is to be on like this side of the line. And not just how frustrating it is, but how much of an emotional drain it is, right? How much emotional labor it takes to carry that. And I totally understand and empathize with folks that aren't willing to put up with that.
Well, Albert, I thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
That's BuzzFeed News reporter Albert Samaha talking about his recent essay, "My Mom Believes in QAnon. I've Been Trying to Get Her Out."